Hi there, welcome back to the show.
Hey Vince, I'm glad to be back.
How was, we just had Thanksgiving. It's the beginning of the Christmas season. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was very nice and very relaxing and it was very enjoyable.
Nice. Yeah, I have to say the same for myself. Whole family was in the same household, which, it's at first you think, oh, this is going to be fun. And then everyone gets there and you're like, I just want everyone to leave.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's fun. I have a baby nephew now, so it makes everything it makes the least enjoyable parts of the holidays more enjoyable because it's like, just suck it up. It's for the kid. Yeah. Did you take advantage of any of them Black Friday deals? Did you brave?
I was thinking about buying my cousin a Gator for his NFL team, but then he texted me yesterday saying that he doesn't watch football anymore, so I don't know what to get him, but I'll definitely do my shopping this week, so.
Gotcha. Well, that's kind of depressing, but that's like a film guy going like, I don't watch movies anymore. Like, oh, okay. Who pissed in your Cheerios and sat him on fire and threw him out the window and then took a dump on them? Jeez.
Yeah.
It's a tradition for me to always take advantage of the Black Friday deals. So I actually have my purchases right here. I saw that they were going to do Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for $5. And I was like, you bet your bottom dollar I'm going to take advantage of that. So I got it. It's got this cool, like, double sleeve. So, like, I don't know what's supposed to be the front or what's supposed to be the back, but I prefer this because, you know, this is the poster of the movie. Not the crappy Photoshop thing that came out for the first poster. And people are like, what the hell is this? Where's, like, the hand-drawn Tarantino, or I don't even think he hand-draws all his post, not Tarantino himself, but you know, he has that like Drew Struzan look to some of his posters. Like, I want to see that poster or like Pulp Fiction. Anyways, it's not a big deal. It's whatever. I also got one it's been on my list for a while, Avengers Endgame. As Thanos would say, my collection's complete. I don't know, I guess that's Ariel from Little Mermaid. Thanos would say, Thanos would say, smile on my face.
Yeah.
My sister saw I got this and she's like, why did you get that? You have Disney Plus. And I'm like, you wouldn't understand. It's a filmmaker thing. We believe in physical media, damn it. I just broke my rule.
Yeah. I remember seeing a meme a while back of a dad's like, hey kids, who wants to come with me to the store to get a Star Wars in 4K? And all the kids are like, me. And then the mom's like, wait, can't you watch on Disney Plus? Then like, it's like a picture of Samuel L. Jackson Pulp Fiction saying, I don't remember asking you a damn thing.
Oh gosh, that's funny. That's a perfect... I'll have to bleep that out, but that's a perfect meme for something like that. That's good. Last but not least, I didn't even expect to see this thing on sale, and I got it anyways. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, a.k.a. currently the best Spider-Man movie out there.
Amen.
They also took the time to put the header, you know, winner for the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature. Which, let's see, what was that, 2018?
What came out
under Pixar during 2018? My brain is fried right now.
Incredibles 2, that's what came out in 2018.
Oh, yeah, Incredibles 2. Yeah, they deserved it. I didn't like Incredibles 2. Well, I shouldn't say I didn't. It's okay. But, like... First Incredibles had like an edge to it, like a mature adult edge to it. And this was kind of like, I mean, it felt like they were forced to make Incredibles do it. It didn't feel like you know, they wanted to make Incredibles 2, which is really too bad. Yeah. Because I was really looking forward to the film. I still enjoy it. It's fun. It's nice to see the updated animation. But let's just say it ain't no Toy Story 4.
Yeah, I will say that that whole award season with, like, Spider-Man says Spider-Man's winning thing, it was literally, like, just, like, a one-hitter. Like, everyone thought, like, it was going to be either, oh, Isle of Dogs or Incredibles 2. And Spider-Man's came out, and they're like, nope. One-hitter quitter, TKO, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody saw Spider-Verse coming. And I mean, because, like, I remember when the first trailer came out, I was actually going to shoot a short film that day. And the trailer came out, and we all stopped and watched it. And we're like, this is unreal. Like, the animation alone is just fantastic. But we obviously were kind of like, oh, it's Spider-Man. Is this going to be, like, this generic movie, whatever? And then, nope. Mm-hmm. That's probably the first like perfect rating I gave to a movie in a long time. At the time, I've given plenty of movies the past couple of years 5-star ratings. I think I gave Parasite a 5-star rating. Obviously, I give Toy Story 4 a 5-star rating. But yeah, like that was the first film in a long time where I was just like, I cannot find anything wrong with this, and anything that could be wrong with this is not worth bringing up or debating.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Like, when I originally saw it, I give it 4.5 out of 5. But like, then looking back on it now, the problems I have with it are not that big. Are really not that big of a deal.
Yeah. So. Well, we got a show to do. We have some Spider-Man stuff to talk about. Let's get into it. For the first time since June 19th, 2020, this is the Vince Salerno Podcast, episode 49. On today's episode, Tyler Banark is back to talk movies and what else? More movies. We're talking about the Chaos Walking trailer, the Tom and Jerry trailer, the Godfather Coda, the Death of Michael Corleone trailer, some Black Panther rumors, One Night in Miami, and is Spider-Man 3 going to be a Spider-Verse movie? All this and more as the Vince Salerno Podcast starts right now. So we're not doing it without music. But one day I'll get the, you know, I'll be official and have like the whole studio be like 3, 2, 1, cue music.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Vince Salerno Podcast. I know it's been a while, but I'm back recording episodes with my buddy Tyler. It is a Monday, November 30th, 2020. By the time you guys listen to this, it'll be December, and it's already Christmas time. But I mean, if you're, you know, a stickler and like, oh, it's not Christmas until it's Christmas. It has to be the month of Christmas. Then fine. By the time you're watching this, it'll be Christmas time. But as you can see by my room, I don't care because Christmas time starts November 15th for me. As I said, I'm joined by a returning guest who's been on the show more times than I can keep track of right now, because as I approach 25 in less than a couple days, I've realized, you know, maybe I'm getting some dementia. I joke that my 25th birthday is going to be my quarter life crisis, and, you know, things are just going to be downhill from there. But no, that's not until I'm at least 50. So I have another quarter of a century to go. Anyways, Tyler Banark, welcome back.
And thank you for having me back again, Vince. Glad to be back.
No problem. You've been busy. I think you've been posting a couple of reviews on your socials, but you were just on a live stream, or not a live stream, but a Instagram live with, from what I can tell, at least a pretty prolific movie vlogger.
Yeah. So let me talk about that. So a while back, I was on an Instagram, and this account called Ultimate Movie Account. He was like, "Hey, I want to do live streams where I talk to people of the film community and just like, you know, talk to them about their profiles and you know, we just talk, have a good conversation. Like, and he can answer any questions from any of the people watching the live stream. He's like, let me know if you're interested. I told him, yeah, I'm interested. And he was like, yeah, you, yeah, like, just let me know when you're, let me know when this weekend works out for you. And I'm like, sure. And we had a good hour long conversation, and it was a total blast. He was awesome. And, we had a great conversation. I asked a lot of questions. I had a lot of people come on from, people I know personally. Like, they, like, I told everyone about this, and like, they all came on the live stream, support me, especially my best friend, Alan. And, but it was a really great, experience. I really enjoyed it. And if we opportunity ever arises, I would love to do it with him again. And he says he would be willing to do that as well.
So. All right. Well, congrats on that. Yeah. I watched a little bit of it, and, yeah, it was fun to watch you guys banter. And I started following him after you vicariously introducing him to me. So, yeah, I didn't know he was handing those out. Like anybody who wants to come on can come on. I thought it was like you had an in with him or something. And but that's awesome. It's cool. He sounds like a really cool dude. So I might try to do that myself.
Yeah, that was like the first time I had ever talked to him, and he was just really chill and so inviting and awesome.
Sweet, man. Well, good for you. What else have you been doing, either in the world of movie news or in life in general?
So 2 months back, I was on the one thing that we all cinephiles love and adore, Letterboxd. And I came across an ad for someone who said, hey, I'm thinking about starting a film website. If anyone's interested in writing for it, feel free to comment on this post. I comment on it, and I am now a writer for cinemasolace.com. I highly recommend you all check it out. It is a great website. It's me and about, like, I think 5 or 6 other guys from around the world. We just write movie articles and talk about, we just do movie reviews and write other movie news-related articles and stuff like that. All the guys are great, and I'm really enjoying it, and I can really see myself making a living off of this, like, maybe, you know, if the situation were to ever come. But perfect. It's great. I highly recommend y'all check out. It's Cinema Solace, Solace spelled SOLACE.com.
Awesome, dude. Well, congratulations on all of that. That's awesome. Yeah, thank we'll you. Put the links in the description of this episode for you guys to check all that out. Highly recommend it. If you're not following Tyler already, follow him. I mean, he's got some great insight, even though we both disagree on Treasure Planet.
I wouldn't say we disagree on it. I did like it. I did. I just noticed, like, a few little tweaks in it. But, I mean, I still liked it.
I'm giving you a hard time, but yeah. I bring it up because I actually, okay, shocker. I got the coof. I got COVID, and I recovered, and whatever. I'm fine. Let's just get that out of the way. I had it. I'm fine. It's done. During my infirmary, I watched Treasure Planet. And I don't know why. I think I heard it was like the 25th anniversary or something. Or I was talking with my girlfriend about it, and she was like, oh, I've never seen this. And I was just like, what? What 90s Disney fan, or 90s, what early 2000s Disney fan didn't see Treasure Planet? So I decided to give it a rewatch. And I almost cried. Wow. I still think it's a fantastic movie made by, like, some of my favorite Disney filmmakers, Don Clements and John Musker. That's who it is. They've done like all my favorite Disney films. I believe they did Aladdin, they did Moana, they did Treasure Planet. I actually got to meet John Musker at Disney, and I got to see Don Clements as he was doing an interview inside the like the inking studio where they do like the 2D reprints of old Disney films. So I'm just a huge fan of theirs, and I was shocked at how, because I mean I loved it as a kid, but I was shocked at just how great it holds up for me, at least as a fan. I think, like, the heart of it is like, you know, Silver and Jim. I mean, like, Mm-hmm. It's a father-son relationship, or it's a foster father-son relationship. And like, you really start to feel, you know, the heartstrings pulling when, you know, Silver pulls out the old, you got the makings of greatness in you. It's like, I need a minute. Anyways, let's just go into, I guess, what we watched. For those of you new to the podcast, this is a segment of the show where we just talk about what we've watched, and it's been a while, so let's get into it. So obviously, I said I watched Treasure Planet, but that was like ages ago. The first movie I watched that I'll talk about, and I'll throw it to you, Tyler, was obviously I watched Toy Story for the 25th anniversary. Of course I did. And, you know, I've seen this movie a billion times. I know every word. I know every scene. I know every beat. I could recite the entire movie for you right now. but every time, I still just get the biggest thrills ever. It still holds up. I mean, 25 years. And it's the also the first ever fully computer animated movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
A feature film, I should say. Which is another just huge accomplishment in itself. But, you know, the story, I've always been very vocal about how I relate a lot to Woody as a character. I feel like the beats he goes through in these movies has very weirdly been similar to the beats in my life. Take that as however you want. But I just have a special connection with these characters, especially with Woody and Buzz. I literally have friends that I consider like my Buzz Lightyear to my Woody, you know. It's a little corny, but I mean, it's true. It's had this weird correlation to my own life. Maybe I'm just making that up. But in a way it has. And the characters are just great. The story is great. And it's so engaging. Like who doesn't imagine their toys coming to life when they leave the room? Because as a kid, like they do take on a life of their own in your imagination. So it just, you know, it all makes sense. And, you know, the idea of Woody and Buzz being like father figures to Andy and, you know, Buzz not really caring and Woody caring too much. And then both of them learning to, you know, resolve their differences and be the greatest friendship duo in the history of cinema. Enough said there, I guess. But, yeah, Tyler, if you want, thoughts on Toy Story and what did you watch?
Yeah, so for Toy Story alone, I do agree it is a great movie. It does leave me baffled at times to think that, like, this movie was a groundbreaking film when it first came out. Because, like, if you watched Toy Story today with, like, the animation that it has now in comparison to, like, the animation that we know of today, it's like, it's not very good, but if you put it in perspective of someone who's seen it in 1995, it's like Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse.
Oh, it's yeah, like, for sure. That's a great comparison.
Like,
right,
absolutely mind-blowing. So, like, that's my take on it. But, yeah, I do have, like, a lot of respect for it. And, but, yeah, I mean, Toy Story is still a great, timeless movie. But, I mean, personally, it's not my favorite Pixar movie, but I still like it and admire it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, what did you, what was the first movie that you watched that you wanted to...
Yeah, so first movie I want to talk about is, so on 28, so that's Saturday, I went to, me and my dad went to see a movie, and we saw the horror comedy Freaky.
Cool, nice.
Yeah, so it stars Catherine Newton and Vince Vaughn, and it's a horror comedy about a high school girl who gets attacked by a serial killer, and he tries to kill her, but when he kills her, the knife that he used to kill her with makes them swap bodies. So she ends up in the serial killer's body, and the serial killer ends up in her body. And so, like, we see Vince Vaughn act like, you know, a teenage girl, you know, with, you know, her two best friends, and, like, it's, and we see, like, you know, we see Catherine, you know, become, like, a cold-blooded serial killer, and,
like, Freaky Friday, but with, like a
yeah, exactly,
slasher, like, horror twist, right?
Yeah, and, like, the movie does a great job of balancing horror and comedy. Like, the some of the jokes land, and like the and like some and a lot of the kills in the horror movie are like extremely graphic. But personally for me, like, it was okay. I mean, I wasn't completely blown away by it, but like, it was, I mean, yeah, I would say it's okay, but like, it's a fun movie to watch if you're like with a group of friends and, you know, you guys want to watch something, you know, some cheesy scary movie. I suggest Freaky.
Was it directed by the same guy who did Happy Death Day?
I believe so. I know he did a Paranormal Activity 5, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he did a Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You as well.
Gotcha. Okay. Cause I saw that it was like from the director, from the producer. And I was like, well, that if it's from the same director, that totally makes sense, because I haven't seen Happy Death Day or Happy Death Day 2, but, you know, I like the slasher horror comedy genre. It's dark. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of seeing gruesome violence on film for entertainment per se, but I do get a kick out of it. Like, I get a kick out of films like Evil Dead that are horror films, but like clearly have a personality of their own. So that's awesome. So I'll go into my next one. Disney Plus has got a treasure trove of awesome movies that I've never heard of or never seen. And I've never seen Three Men and a Baby, or its sequel, Three Men and a Little Lady. And I've got to say, these might be two of the best 80s films I've ever seen. They're funny, they're charming. Yeah, I know, it's a big thing coming from me, Mr. 80s guy. They're funny, they're charming. The pairing of Tom Selleck, Ted Danson, and Steve Guttenberg, is genius casting, because they're all kind of like, well, Tom Selleck is known for being like the action hero guy, but he's comedic in this. Like, he actually is really funny in this movie. Yeah. But he's also kind of like the heart of the film, I guess, because he's the one that like that cares more for the baby. I believe her name's Mary, than anybody. And in the sequel, he becomes, you know, kind of the main protagonist of the three, because, you know, he wants to marry, he's in love with Nancy Travis's character, the mom, who is, have you seen or heard of these movies? Am I just spewing nonsense?
I might have heard Three Men and a Baby somewhere, but I've never seen it. For some reason, I thought Tim Allen was in it. I don't know why, but... Mm-hmm.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see Tim Allen being in this. Well, okay, just to give you some loose details so you're not completely lost, Three Men and a Baby is about these three best friends that live in a penthouse apartment together. They're bachelors. One's a actor. One is a cartoonist. One is a architect. The three of them are living the life. You know, they have parties every night. Ladies come into their feet to, you know, sleep with them and all that. It's fantastic. And then all of a sudden, a baby gets dropped in their doorstep, and they find out that it's Ted Danson's baby. But Ted Danson went to go shoot a movie in Europe for a month, and so it starts out with Steve Guttenberg and Tom Selleck are stuck with this baby. They don't know whose baby it is or where. I mean, they know it's Ted Danson. They don't know where it came from. They don't know who the mom is, and everyone's going to come pick it up. And it's just the hilarity of these, you know, these three men figuring out how to raise this child that they just don't know where it came from or who dropped it off. And then I guess I kind of have to spoil the ending of the first movie to explain the second movie. But basically, in the second movie, at the end of the first movie, the mom comes back and she wants to take the baby from the guys, and they're like, okay, well, she's the mom. And they're like super depressed because, you know, they've grown a strong attachment. But the mom is also a struggling actress and has nowhere to go. So they decide, why don't we all just live together and raise the child, raise Mary. And so we go into the second movie, and Mary's older and she's a little lady now, and now they're all struggling with trying to, you know, the guys want to live their bachelor lives, but she also wants to get married and actually have a have another kid and just, you know, live her life. And the guys are trying to figure out how to get her a husband or help her find a husband. But then Tom Selleck is, you know, he's the big tough man, and he's having trouble with getting in tune with his feelings and confessing how he really feels about her. And anyways, I won't explain too much from there, but they're just awesome, charming, funny movies. I've watched them both twice now. They're just fantastic. I love them. And part of me hopes they make a sequel called Three Men and a Grandbaby, where they're grandparents, but it'll probably never happen. Hashtag Three Men and a Grandbaby. Make it happen, Disney Plus. Come on, you're bringing back Willow. You can bring back Three Men and a Baby. Make it happen.
Yeah.
All right, off to you. What do you do you have anything else that you want to share?
For my next movie, I'm about to flip the switch and talk about something really dark. The next film I watched was a short film on Netflix called If Anything Happens, I Love You. Have you heard about this at all, Vince?
I saw your Letterboxd review, and it doesn't look like my cup of tea, because that looks like something that would just depress me for the rest of the day.
Yeah, so for those of you who aren't familiar with it, If Anything Happens, I Love You is a 12-minute animated short film on Netflix about two parents who are grieving the death of their daughter who died in a school shooting. And there is absolutely no dialogue in the movie, but it's just so beautifully animated. And like everything they piece together in this movie is just like, you know, so emotional. And like, you could tell like the animators put like every single second is not so like they make meticulously detailed, and you know, just they made like, you know, every single second happen for a purpose. And like, I mean, people can ease, like I've seen some reactions from this short film, and like some people are like, okay, I'm 3 minutes in, I'm already bawling my eyes out. And then like, okay, movie just ended, I'm about to cry rivers. Like the literally reactions are like that. And honestly, I watched it late one night, and I'm like, man, that was so deep. And just, it's so like, it perfectly captures every parent's worst nightmare. And honestly, if I really hope, I mean, I don't care what other animated short films come out this year, I really, really hope that this gets best animated short film. It's so incredible and so heartbreaking. But yeah, it's just, it's so good. So, I mean, it might have been a cry fest for you, but it's a truly incredible movie with a great message to it. So I highly recommend everyone check out If Anything Happens, I Love You on Netflix.
Awesome. Yeah, I didn't realize it was about that. I guess I missed that on the Letterboxd description, but wow. Just you talking about it, it's already making me kind of get misty-eyed. Yeah, that's what I'll have to prepare for. I don't do emotional cry fests very well.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. It sounds like a great movie, and it just a really I mean, like that would be the worst thing to happen ever to a parent. Like, yeah, what would be worse than losing your child? You know, how that affects relationships, I suppose, is probably what the film goes into. But solid pick. Nice. I don't have Netflix either, so I have that to my advantage, but maybe I'll try to piggy bank off somebody or you and try to watch it. Last movie I want to talk about, obviously I rewatched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's awesome, guys. I know it's not Tarantino's best, but it's awesome. It's so fun. I think I have a especially special connection to it because Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt in the film remind me of me and one of my best friends when we were living in California together. Like, there's a scene where they're just like, hey, want to come watch my pilot? It's like, well, I got some beer in the back. Let's go order a pizza and let's just sit down and watch it. And they're just like, you know, just joking around the whole time and talking and just like, you know, you can't go after Rick Dalton with a freaking shotgun, man. Like, Yeah. Like that perfectly encapsulates like me living in California for film school. It's just a fun movie. I know people say it's like it's not the best Tarantino film, whatever. It's like shut up, okay? Just live. Just it's a fine movie. I mean, Tarantino has had so many great hits, and he's still a really great, competent filmmaker. Mm-hmm. I know everybody kind of expects him to just hit it out of the park every time, but I don't know. I'm at a point in life where I'm just like, I'll have my reaction and then I'll just be like, eh, take it as it is, unless it's actually terrible. But I really think this movie is good. I like that it's an uneven, it's a unusual structure, I should say. And I like that it's kind of presented as a Hollywood fairy tale with, you know, with the ending and stuff. I know we've talked briefly about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but have you had that reevaluation, or have you kind of stuck to your opinion on the film?
Yeah, honestly, so originally I said Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is my all-time favorite movie from last year, and I still live up to that, even though after rewatching 1917 and Parasite, like, it might be a three-way tie now. But yeah, I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I love Tarantino. He's my all-time favorite director. But I don't know if I ever told you this, but I'll say it again. But so it was when I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood the summer of last year in theaters. I watched it, and like, even though I was loving it, and like, this is like another home run from Tarantino, I thought to myself, yeah, I think no other Tarantino movie is gonna top Pulp Fiction and Django Unchained. But yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is still nevertheless another one of Tarantino's best, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, you cannot top. I mean, I'm right there with it. You can't top Pulp Fiction. Mm-hmm. Pulp Fiction will always be his best film. I don't care what anybody says. Right. And Inglourious Basterds right up there, too. I mean, I don't own every Tarantino film, but I own that. I own Pulp Fiction. Now I own Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I'm not particularly a fan of all of his films per se, but I will get the ones that I really dig. That's an interesting three-way tie: Parasite, 1917, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. What a year, man. 2019. That was probably one of the best years for film ever. I mean, You had Avengers Endgame, which people are now saying is like the last blockbuster, which, please, Lord, no.
Yeah, don't.
Toy Story 4, Parasite, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, 1917. I'm blanking on whatever else came out that year, but.
I mean, if you're a diehard Scorsese fan, The Irishman.
Yeah, The Irishman, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan per se, but like, for filmmakers and for like franchises, it was a great year. There were just a multitude of fantastic movies that came out that year. And, you know, for what it is, this year has been,
Yeah.
Before we get into our current events, I do want to ask, how many movies have you seen this year so far?
For me, I have seen 29 movies this year. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be really disappointed to hear how many I've watched.
I'm guessing it's about 10.
8. Yeah. Although, I have to say, it's almost at 9 because I am working my way through Guns Akimbo. With Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Mm. Yeah, which so far is okay. I mean, for what we've been getting with 2020, it's not the worst movie. But that'll be another conversation for another day. All right, let's get into these current events. We got so many trailers to talk about, guys.
We do indeed.
I am so excited for some of these trailers. Not all these trailers. Let's start off with the worst of the bunch. So, Chaos Walking, the first trailer for Chaos Walking has been released. I believe it's based on a book that was released like a couple, maybe 10, I don't know how many years ago. But I heard rumors that the movie was so bad it was unreleasable. And then they said that's what I heard. I'm not saying that's what it is. That's what I heard. And then people say that January, February is kind of the dumping ground for movies, which can be true depending on what film you put out during that time. Yeah, totally. But they put it for like a January 25th, 2021 release date. And I'm sorry, but that is the trademark dumping ground release date if there ever was one. Like, end of the month, January. Let's just put it out there. And I don't want to discredit, because I know there are fans of this franchise. Yeah. I saw the comments on YouTube and Instagram. People actually are really excited for this film, which, I mean, good for you.
They've got reason to.
Let's just get into it. So it stars Tom Holland. It's got Tom Holland, Daisy Ridley, Mads Mikkelsen, Nick Jonas.
Cynthia Erivo.
Who?
Cynthia Erivo. Bad Times at the El Royale, Widows.
I got it when you said Widows. Yeah, so it's got a pretty stacked cast. And I mean, like, Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley are kind of like, you know, this generation's movie stars now. And I mean, with Daisy Ridley, obviously, with Star Wars, and Tom Holland with, I mean, take your pick, Uncharted, Spider-Man. I mean, he's been in so many movies now. It's just like, insert Tom Holland movie here, and the answer is yes. Onward just came out this has been also a great year for Tom Holland. He's been in so many films.
Excuse
me, he was in Onward, Chaos Walking Now, The Devil
All the Time. Devil All the Time.
You gotta see that one. And I don't remember if there's anything else.
And there's a Cherry coming out in February or March.
Oh, yeah.
Cherry with the Russo Brothers.
Oh, yeah, and Cherry. Duh, I forgot about Cherry.
Yeah, Cherry.
I can't wait for that. Yeah. So I'm bummed it didn't come out sooner because I wanted to talk about it with you, but...
I really want to see a trailer just so I know, like, exactly what we're getting into with it. Because I think, I mean, there's a lot of hype going around it, but, like, we haven't gotten a trailer yet. So, I mean, I'm not... not sure how to feel about it, but it's
coming soon. Also, it's the first post Avengers film by the Russo brothers, and
yeah, it is.
That alone excites me. At this point, if they can tackle a 300 characters and over the course of two different films, ending a 22 film saga, they can do anything, and they have. Yeah. They've done like schlock comedies. They've directed episodes of Arrested Development. They've directed Avengers, Captain America. You know, they've done it all. So anyways, Tom Holland, it's been a great year for him. So I don't know much about this story, this franchise, but basically, like, the premise is women are extinct, which, you know, that's great. That's a... Be careful with the woke mob coming after you for that one. anyways. Women are extinct, and Daisy Ridley is the last woman, and all the men have this thing called the
walk. I think it's called, like, the noise.
The noise. Yeah, the noise. And it's like their thoughts are, like, echoed or personified. And it's just it this is where I have a dissonance, because it doesn't look good. Like, Tom Holland sees Daisy Ridley for the first time, and it's just like, girl, oh, puberty, girl, I've never seen a girl, oh, blonde hair, she's hot, it's like, is he having a spasm attack, or what's going on? I thought he was actually, like, talking that whole time. I watched the trailer again, I was like, oh, wait a minute, that's something that, I mean, I got it the first time, but the second time I was like, okay, that's not him talking. He doesn't have some, like, weird nervous tic. He's actually, it's not executed well, the noise. That's where I take issue the most. And the trailer is just so, for lack of better words and no pun intended, chaotic. It just, it hurt my brain. Honestly, it was like, I want to see Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland act, and heck, Mads Mikkelsen. I'm a huge Mads Mikkelsen fan.
Yeah.
But it just seems like a Hunger Games ripoff. It seems like a Maze Runner ripoff. It just, unfortunately, it just doesn't look that interesting. It could be a fun, you know, it could be a fun film that you watch on a Saturday afternoon with nothing to do while you're folding laundry. But based on the rumors I've heard and based on what we're seeing right now, maybe the performances will be good, but I don't know how the film itself is going to go down. Anyways,
yeah.
What were your thoughts on Chaos Walking?
Going into it, I have heard, okay, this is going to be a movie starring Tom Holland, Daisy Ridley. I mean, this is something to look forward to. And then, I have no idea what the premise is going into the trailer. I saw a trailer, and I'm like, yeah, this is probably going to be a flop. And I did some research on, the production of the movie, and, just like New Mutants and Men in Black International, it ran into a lot of production problems and reshoots. So, and usually 9 times out of 10, a movie that has either bad production run or has to go through reshoots ends up being, a failed movie.
Yeah, that's usually a red flag right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good thing you mentioned Men in Black and New Mutants, because Men in Black was, it's funny because the original premise for Men in Black International sounded way better than what we actually got.
Wasn't Men in Black International originally going to be the Jump Street Men in Black crossover?
Well, yeah, actually, that was the very first thing they thought of. Then they decided against that, and then they were going to do a did Men in Black 4, and it was supposed to be like an alien immigration movie or something. They were supposed to tackle immigration, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And then it obviously was just a mess. And New Mutants, we got to talk about New Mutants because it wasn't good.
It wasn't worth it. Yeah, I mean, it could have been, it wasn't like God tier level awful, but it was far from a good movie. I hate to say it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get why Disney and Fox had such pushback against releasing the film.
Mm-hmm.
But oh well, we got what we wanted and we paid the price. We're talking more about other films than Chaos Walking. This just goes to show how interesting Chaos Walking is to us. I'll probably check out this film. I don't have any high hopes. I want to see Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland act because I love Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland. Mads Mikkelsen too, but I've got interested in it.
Yeah. I'm still waiting on whether or not I should see it or not. I will say, it is selling a lot of names to it, like Tom Holland, Daisy Ridley, and then the director of it, Doug Liman. He's the guy who made Born Identity.
Oh yeah, Doug Liman.
And Tomorrow, and
he does the crap movies.
Yeah, and they got all this talent attached to it, but at the same time, it looks like it's gonna be a fail. So who knows what Chaos Walking could be? Who knows what it's gonna be?
We'll see. We'll see. Stranger things have happened. And that was not an intentional pun. It might have been, but. Anyways, Chaos Walking. It's literally chaos walking.
Yep.
All right, let's get on to the second trailer today. We have Tom and Jerry. So, I forgot there was even a Tom and Jerry movie coming out. I remember hearing about it late last year, I think, or early this year, I think, that they were doing a live-action CGI hybrid of Tom and Jerry. I thought, okay, that could be fun. I grew up with Tom and Jerry. I don't have a, strong emotional connection to it, obviously, but I really liked Tom and Jerry. It was one of the hallmarks of my childhood. So, I was I was slightly amused when I heard that there was going to be a new movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the premise is pretty generic. Tom and Jerry have been chasing each other for years, and they find themselves in a fancy hotel where Jerry is like living the luxury life, but you know, obviously the hotel because of him has a mouse problem, and they get Chloe Grace Moretz of all people to take care of it. And she hires Tom to, and the movie kind of insinuates that they like go their separate ways, or they get kicked out of the house or whatever. And then they go, and they coincidentally get reunited through Chloe Grace Moretz in the hotel. Yeah. And you know, just, it's a Tom and Jerry movie. The hilarity ensues and they're trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
The first thing that struck me was the animation. And I've been wrestling with this for a long time. First, I didn't like it. So I was like, mm-hmm. This looks like it should be, like, why is this a live action movie? Why don't they just make it animated? Because the characters look perfect.
Yeah.
But why not make it just a seat?
It's like the Who Framed Roger Rabbit aspect just to not sit with you. Is that it?
Well, okay, so therein lies the moral of the story. So my girlfriend actually, Kate, told me, like, well, it kind of looks like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And I was like, okay, that worked with me. If they are actually going for, like, you know, Who Framed Roger Rabbit style animation, like humans interacting with like actual cartoon, I can dig that actually. I didn't think about that when the trailer first aired. Although I don't like the birds singing Lizzo, I hate pop songs in kids' movies, because I know some of them fit, but it's like, they're not even trying. They're just just throw some pop songs in there. Mm-hmm. The kids will like it, you know? They'll go see the movie. Like, I'm sorry, kids are a little more sophisticated than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least get, like, make your own soundtrack. Like, do a Randy Newman, do what they did in Toy Story. I don't know. I just hate that every modern day kids animated film has to be a pop music extravaganza.
Yeah.
Except for Spider-Verse, because Spider-Verse actually did something with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know,
yeah.
Rap music and pop music in that movie is actually part of, like, Miles as a character.
Yeah, totally.
And all these other films, like Chipmunks and Tom and Jerry and Angry Birds. Yeah, I guess Sing had a point to it, because it was like, oh, we're singing animals, but...
Yeah.
Even then, like, that still annoyed me too. It was just like, just make up your own songs.
Yeah.
Disney does it. Mm-hmm. There are millions of songwriters out, like independent songwriters, that would love a chance to make music for big Hollywood films. Like, take a chance.
Yeah.
But the student needs to make money. The student needs to stick to the formula that's going to make them money. Although I don't think the formula is working anymore, but that's not for me to say, because I'm just a film fan. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think it's fine. It's I don't like that it's a basically like Chipmunks with Tom and Jerry, although they're probably not going to have any crude jokes like in Chipmunks. As long as they keep it between Tom and Jerry and just the hilarity, and that's the heart of the film. And if they don't talk, which it doesn't look like they're going to have them talk, I think that's great. So it's probably going to be fun family fare. But I'm intrigued. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
I'm not a diehard Tom and Jerry fan, but like I do like the idea of the whole thing, and like they really are that one friendship duo where like it's just constant on-site beef. Like once they see each other, they're just at it. But from the looks of the trailer, I mean, it's probably gonna be another one that's just like, well, just another cheesy kids movie in the books, because it doesn't look funny. It's trying so hard to appeal to younger audiences. And Chloe Grace Moretz, I think she's a fine actress and all, but she does not look to be trying in this movie at all. Like,
yeah, didn't you tweet that?
when I tweeted my first thoughts on it, I was like, yeah, Claire Smith does not seem to be trying, look to be trying in this movie. Because, like, just like, you know, her, you know, trying to be all, you know, like the dorky new, you know, hotel employee.
Oh, wow, this is some detail. Look at that.
Yeah, exactly that. And then, like, that scoff at the very end of the trailer after Tom tries flying into Jerry's hotel room and, like, he gets in and, like, jumps, Jerry slams a window on his fingers. And she's she's not even trying. And then when she meets Tom and like drinks with the idea of the boss saying like, hey, what if thousands of years of just goes on some kind of spiel about like, you know, the cat and mouse relationship. It's like, how about we have this cat who for generations, thousands of years have known for chasing mice or just doing whatever. How about let's have this guy take care of our mouse problem. I'm like, Chloe, please.
Chloe, honey.
Just at least just try. I mean, I don't know if she was given a bad script, if she's trying to do what she, you know, just trying to do what the script's telling you to do, or what? Come on, you're better than that.
You are better than that, man.
Michael Peña too, like that whole line where he's like, yeah, if people see this on Instabook Face or TikTok, it's gonna look bad for our hotel. And I'm like, that was that moment, that line was the line where I'm like, yep, this is just gonna be another cheesy movie that's gonna trying so hard to appeal to kids.
I hated that too. That's put that right up next to pop songs in kids' movies. I hate like social media or like trending like topics in these kids' films. Cause like, oh, these kids are stupid. All they care about is like TikTok and Facebook and what's trending on Twitter. Fortnite in our movie.
Or when Ralph breaks the internet, I don't know where I saw it, but like I don't know if it was like a commercial or a trailer. When I saw Wreck-It Ralph flossing, I'm like, oh boy,
this is not good. That, I'm glad it was just one thing because I couldn't take a whole movie of just random stuff. And Disney's better than that too. So, but yes, glad I'm not alone in my hatred for modern kids movies. I don't hate them, but you know, they could be much better. And that's why we need to get better filmmakers in here that'll actually do something with these things.
Yeah. And Tom and Jerry, I think, it's probably not going to, I don't know if it'll work, but I mean, I'll be surprised if it does, but I'm doubtful I'll probably go see it.
Yeah, I'll probably go see it too. I'm interested. More than I am in Chaos Walking. We keep forgetting though, like, and I don't think they're going to close, but like if theaters are even going to, what the state of theaters will be come, you know, next couple months. I unfortunately haven't been to a theater since like September, I think, which I
feel like
because I need to go. I need to go support the movies.
Did you see Tenet? Was that your September movie?
Oh, yeah. I saw Tenet like three times in the theaters.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Partly because there was just nothing else to see. But I really do enjoy it. So, yeah, tend it all the way, baby. All right, let's move on to, we got a couple more, so let's run through these really quick, or quickish. Number three, the first trailer for the not-so-long-awaited Godfather 3 recut has been released, which has been officially titled Godfather Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone, which was the original title that director Francis Ford Coppola wanted for The Godfather Part 3, but couldn't because the studios got involved. And that's basically why the movie was presented the way it was. So I haven't seen Godfather 3 in a long time, but I thought it was okay. A lot of people think it's the worst sequel of all time. And like, yeah, the death scene is a little just very dry. in a funny way. But this really like made me happy to know that Paramount was putting in the time, the money, the resources to let Francis Ford Coppola make his true vision of The Godfather. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the closest they'll ever get to Godfather Part 4. Yeah. Just, you know, cashing, continuing to cash in on the Godfather name as a franchise. I'm a huge fan of The Godfather. The Godfather is my second favorite film of all time. Mm-hmm. And so to know that, like, the man himself, and Mario Puzo, I believe, is involved too, the mode that the both of them are involved and want to recut this to exactly what they intended to happen in the final film, I think is awesome. And that they said they have a new beginning and a new ending. And obviously, it's in the title, The Death of Michael Corleone. Like, Michael, we all know he's going to die because we've all seen the movie too. But it's always those things like, you know, walking into Logan, people kind of assumed he was going to die, but it's not, is he going to die? It's what's the journey before he dies. And that's what I'm interested in seeing is Michael Corleone's final journey towards death. And there's just also some really great intriguing stuff in The Godfather Part 3, like with the corruption that he gets into with the church and his nephew kind of being like the next in line to take over the throne. The mantle of the Godfather. So anyways, I'm beyond excited for this. This is on the top of my Christmas list, and I'm not even kidding. Tyler, I don't know if we've actually really talked about The Godfather before. If you have.
Yeah, I don't think we have.
But yeah, tell me what you think about the Godfather itself, and then also the fact that they're doing this recut.
Yeah. So, first time I saw the original Godfather in theaters for its 45th anniversary, I think 3 summers ago, and like I fell in love with it. It was totally like mind blown, and like I remember like when it ended, it was a 3-hour movie, and like when it ended, I was like, wait, is that it? And then eventually I got around to Godfather 2, and like, you know, it was. I don't remember much of it, probably because it was a 3.5-hour movie and there's a lot happening. But I've been meaning to get around to Godfather 3. I know at one point, I don't know how long ago, I started it, but I never finished it. But like I've been meaning to get around to watch Godfather 3 from start to finish. I mean, I've heard, you know the reactions I've heard, you know, it's been mainly been mixed, but I'm gonna try to go into it with like just an open mind. And, you know, think maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it's an actually good movie and a fitting conclusion for Michael Corleone.
I really do think it is an okay movie. I don't think it's as bad as people make it out to be. Then again, I've only seen it once. Obviously the big thing is just that they didn't get to make the movie they wanted to make. So the fact that Coppola is getting to do this is really cool, especially Paramount with the state that they're in right now. I just think it's really awesome. So I eagerly await the final chapter in The Godfather, the true final chapter in The Godfather trilogy to come out this month. So that'll be probably like my 11th or 12th movie I see this year. So I'm actually going to make a genuine effort to see more movies that came out this year. I'm not just going to be like, 12 and done. It's okay. I'm actually going to try to see some of the films that are easily available to me and even try to go to the theater to see some. I hope to God that Wonder Woman is coming to theaters near us. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it's
going to be
a LA New York thing.
So I heard it's going to be released in theaters on Christmas Day, but at the same time, it'll also be available on HBO Max.
Right, yeah. And I'm hoping for that because
it's a little give and take.
Yeah, and I don't have HBO Max, so, and I'm not going to buy it just for Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So, I hope it's in theaters for at least a couple weeks. Anyways, let's get to these last two real quick. So, there are rumors swirling about Black Panther 2. Obviously, we lost Chadwick Boseman a couple months ago. Man. He was a... Honestly, he was on the verge of becoming one of my favorite actors. I loved I really was intrigued by him in Civil War, and I fell in love with him in Black Panther.
Yeah.
I started watching war films with him, like Jackie, like the 42. I tried watching as many films of his as I could after watching Black Panther, and he's just a very soulful, truthful actor, and he's very, like, the thing as a director, when I'm directing people, what I look for is actors that they're not acting towards themselves, they're not acting to please themselves, they're acting for the sake of the story and for the sake of their fellow cast members, because you're only as good as your fellow cast members. And Chadwick Boseman is a perfect example of that. He, like, I feel like he made everybody else better. Maybe everybody else made him better too. Like, and that's how acting and filmmaking just in general should be. It should be a give and take, a giving of yourself to the craft, and not expecting yourself to be pampered like Tom Cruise does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love Tom Cruise, but he's people like him have set a bad precedent for, like, you know, like the Hollywood star who, like, wants millions of dollars and like, you know, have a bed made out of goose feathers while he waits to shoot his next take, or I don't know. Anyways, moving on though to actual rumors. So I actually haven't read much about this. Hopefully you can kind of fill in the blanks, Tyler, where I'm missing. But I know that there was a report that came out that Black Panther 2 is actually going to try to shoot in July of next year. They have confirmed that Letitia Wright, who plays Okoye?
Shuri. Oh, Okoye is Danai Gurira.
Danai Gurira. Why am I blanking on all? I love these actresses.
Angela Bassett, I think, plays the mom.
Angela Bassett. Who plays Nakia?
What?
Who plays Nakia?
Lupita Nyong'o.
Lupita Nyong'o. Gosh, I love her, and I forgot her name. I feel terrible. I'm sorry, Lupita. anyways, so they all have been confirmed to return.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there's a new cast member. They just cast somebody new. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't remember who the name of it was, but they did cast someone new.
I think
to play Black Panther, but to, like, for that movie.
To play a person that was going to play the villain.
Yeah, play the villain.
Yeah, and so this is interesting because they said, like, for a while, like, we're not going to focus on Black Panther 2. We're going to focus on paying tribute to Chadwick. And they have been for a couple months. They have been. And, like, you know, like, I've seen, like, conversations with, you know, Letitia Wright, Lupita Nyong'o, where they're just like, you know, we're not worried about the movie. We don't care about the movie right now. We're just trying to mourn and honor Chadwick. And so it's interesting they're actually getting ready to shoot soon. Because they probably figured things out. They probably started having meetings relatively soon, maybe in the last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess with these rumors, let's just kind of theorize what's going to happen. I think it's what we're all probably assuming is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think Shuri is going to be Black Panther. And yeah, I think rightly so, because not only is Letitia Wright an awesome actress and just an awesome person in general, I follow her on Instagram and she's fantastic. I just love everything she posts and stuff. And she's just very, very open about her faith. Specifically, and
yeah,
I know in a world that promotes diversity, it's like, especially diversity of faiths, I think is really important. So to know that, you know, that she wears it loud and proud is just really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So to get on to the point, I think she's going to be Black Panther. I think that somehow they're going to explain that how, you know, T'Challa died in battle, or he got sick, or something happened. Something's going to happen to Chadwick. Something's going to happen to T'Challa, and Shuri is going to have to become the reluctant new Black Panther.
Yep.
That's the extent of my theory. Do you pretty much agree, or do you think there's something else that's going to happen?
Yeah, I do agree that, like, I guess that it'll. I'm still unsure if I'm going to see it or not. But I do think that they'll probably focus on Shuri taking on the mantle. I heard it, but I might have someone that Michael B. Jordan wants to come back. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do that, given that, like, Killmonger's dead. But I think they might bring Michael B. Jordan back. Who knows? If they were going to bring him back, I was really looking forward to, like, him and T'Challa being, like, a Professor X, Magneto, have that kind of relationship.
Kind of like Loki and Thor.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really hoping that, like, we would get to see that. But who knows if Michael B. Jordan's going to come back. But I saw a movie critic on TikTok talk about his theories and his thoughts on the whole thing about Black Panther 2. He thinks that Shuri will take on the mantle, and that, you know, the person they cast as a villain will be like some Aquaman-esque guy. I don't know the name or anything like that. But they said like
villain. So
yeah. And then, like, if they decide to do, like, a Black Panther 3 or, like, Black Panther 4 down the road, like, then, like, they'll give it time, and then, like, maybe think of someone to, like, replace Chadwick Boseman. And he said, and he was all like, oh, if that's the case, then I'm picking John David Washington to do it. But, honestly, I mean, I don't know what else to theorize or expect other than just Shuri takes on the mantle. So.
Yeah, I like that, actually. In fact, I'm not even opposed to them just recasting the role as it stands. I mean, yes, you want to honor Chadwick, but, like, what better way to honor him than, like, keep the character going? Don't let him die. Yeah. And I love John David Washington. He's such an awesome, charismatic actor. And, you know, say what you want about Tenet. Whether he was given a lot to work with or not, but like he made the most out of that role. He was a charming, charismatic badass. I know he just broke my rule, but I don't care because he deserves a compliment. He was just awesome. When I first heard that, like, you know, he should replace Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa, I thought, do it already. Sign him up. Get ink the deal.
No.
But more than likely, they're going to go the route with Shuri, and I'm fine with that. I don't know if she's a character that can, like, carry the film, and maybe they're waiting to, if they do decide to recast the character, or like you said, if they're bringing back Michael B. Jordan, maybe they're waiting. Maybe they're waiting to make the announcement, because that would be huge if they brought. If they recasted Black Panther, and if they brought back Michael B. Jordan, or if they brought back Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
So, I like all those theories. I'm fine with Shuri taking on Black Panther. I'm fine with them recasting the character of T'Challa. I'm fine with Michael B. Jordan being resurrected from the dead, because really, whoever stays dead in the MCU. How many times has Loki died? How many times has Spider-Man, but no, Spider-Man only died once. you know, like, no one's ever really gone. Or Red Skull, no one's ever really gone in the MCU. Yeah. So, you know, who knows what'll happen. But one thing for sure is just, you know, it's going to be a pretty emotional movie. As was the first film. I got pretty emotional during the first film. But the second film will hopefully be just as epic and just as emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go through this one last trailer, just really quick. One Night in Miami, centering on, you're gonna have to help me out here, but.
Yeah, so like, One Night in Miami is about I think it might be based off a play, but it's about a fictional night in Miami where, for one night, like, Muhammad Ali, Sam Cooke, Jim Brown, and Malcolm X are all, like, best friends. They're hanging out together for one night and, like, talking about, like, it's said, like, in the early 60s. So, like, I mean, talking about, like, what it means to be, you know, a Black man in America during that time. But, yeah, I think it looks really good. I think it looks really interesting. especially given like some of the casting choices they've had with this role in this movie. But Regina King, who recently won an Oscar for If Beale Street Could Talk, she's directing it. So
oh wow,
yeah, that's something. It's something. It's I'm hoping it's a Best Picture contender, but and it's looking to be. So yeah, I think like big takeaway from this, that's gonna be a hot ticket towards
him. Is this part of that Small Axe Steve McQueen cluster of films?
I don't
direct it, so it probably wouldn't be.
No, he didn't direct it. He didn't direct it. Cool. Regina King did that.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's really interesting. I just got a turn who's on. I just got like a let me pull up the cast really quick. While I'm doing that, Vince, what are your thoughts on the trailer if you've seen it?
Yeah, I saw the trailer. I really, really like it. I think having those figures in the same room in the fictional space is really, really fun idea. Yeah. I mean, they're like some of the most influential African Americans ever to exist. And so I don't really know. I want to keep myself kind of in the dark with the film about what's going to happen or whatever. But just what I saw with the trailer, I just thought, this is awesome. This is fun. It's obviously going to be very emotional. I get Detroit vibes from this.
Yeah.
So I saw Detroit during the George Floyd shootings, and obviously that movie's pretty, you know, it has a very eerie relevance to it. Mm-hmm. And you know, these films were obviously part of an incentive to continue to diversify film in general, which I think is great. Having more diverse voices in the film industry is only going to make the industry better. Because you get better stories, you get better perspectives. So I applaud everything that's going on here. It looks fun. I'm a fan of a lot of these figures, Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Sam Cooke. So to see them all in one room together would, you know, even in a fictional setting, it's going to be, it's kind of like that scene in Mary, Queen of Scots, where Mary, Queen of Scots and Queen Elizabeth, or wait, was it Queen Elizabeth? Yeah, Queen Elizabeth I. When they meet at the end of that movie, they never actually met in person, but like for the sake of the film, narratively, it was a really like well-scripted emotional scene, even though the rest of the film was garbage. sorry, but it's I don't know if you've seen it, but I thought the film was garbage.
Yeah. So so we got like a Kingsley Benadire playing Malcolm X, Eli Gore playing Muhammad Ali, Aldous Hodge playing Jim Brown, and then Leslie Odom Jr. playing Sam Cooke, who Leslie Odom Jr. he's the original Aaron Burr in Hamilton. And
cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really starting to like Leslie Odom Jr. as not just as like an actor, but as a singer too. So, and all these guys from most of the trailer and like that one preview from a while back, they all really seem to embody the figures, especially Eli Gorey and Kingsley Benadire playing Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Sweet. Well, yeah. One Night in Miami looks like one heck of a good time as far as movies go. And hopefully, yeah, a really good Oscar contender. We'll find out. Do you know when it comes out?
So it's going to have a limited theatrical release date on Christmas, and then it'll be available on Prime Video January 15th.
Perfect. Oh, so it's going to be a 2021 release. Or no, wait. I guess that would count as a 2020 release.
Yeah.
If it's going to be in theaters. I forget if people do that to qualify for Oscars. So cool. Well, I look forward to that one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was our current events. Just to run down the list, that was Chaos Walking trailer, Tom and Jerry trailer, The Godfather, Coda, The Death of Marco Corleone trailer, Black Panther 2 rumors, and One Night in Miami first trailer. And now we get on to our topic of the week, which everybody can relax is not a how the coronavirus has affected the film industry part 5, because frankly, that was just such a dour and heartbreaking conversation for me. Yeah. We kind of know what's going on. Not a lot has changed, and I'm not interested in covering it anymore because people are already covering it, and we all know what's going on. You know, streaming is kind of our only way to get into the movies right now. Some movies are being released in theaters, and we should absolutely go support them. We should absolutely support our theaters when we can. When you feel safe to go outside and go into a movie theater, absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you don't, stay home because you're probably sick. So we're not going to talk about that. We're talking about something a little exciting and a little frustrating, at least for me personally. And that's Marvel Studios' Spider-Man 3. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the film is shooting right now. Obviously, we've heard a lot of casting and story rumors about Spider-Man 3 becoming a live action Into the Spider-Verse, which me personally, I'm not a fan of yet. So first, let me, let's get into the rumors and then we'll kind of clarify our stances. So I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tyler, but I believe it started maybe 2 months ago. Or a while back, about 2 months ago, it was rumored that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire were going to be in the movie. That they were recasted to play their respective. No, it wasn't that.
Oh, you're right.
No, it was Electro.
Oh yeah. Before that.
Yes. Okay, yeah, before that, Jamie Foxx was casted to play Electro. Now, I thought, this is cool. Jamie Foxx kind of got screwed with Spider-Man or Amazing Spider-Man 2. I thought him playing Electro was a really great idea. Obviously, he just didn't really, I mean, I like it because it's goofy and stupid and fun, but as a movie, as a Spider-Man film, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I like it too. I think it was like a little guilty pleasure movie.
Yeah, exactly. And especially now with what we have now, it's just like, you got to look back and just think, oh man, fun times. But I honestly thought, great. Like have him come back, play the MCU's, play a rebooted version of Electro and have him play it right, play it straight, play it, you know, his way. That's great. Mm-hmm. Then we got rumors that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire were going to return and play their versions of Spider-Man simply because people thought that Jamie Foxx was playing his Amazing Spider-Man 2 version of Electro.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think they're going to go with, you know, more comic-based adaptation of Electro. So, like, they'll probably have, like, the green and yellow suit.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, you know.
Probably not the dorky face.
Doctor Manhattan, blue.
Yeah, no blue. Let's not do blue. He even said on Instagram, he said, like, I'm excited for the movie. I won't be blue. So you're going to be really excited to see what we do. It's like, okay, great. He's not playing the Amazing Spider-Man 2 Electro. He answered your question or your supposed rumors. Then they kept going because again, Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, then rumors came out that like, oh, maybe Emma Stone is going to come back. She's going to play Spider-Gwen. And then rumors of Kristen Dunst returning to play Mary Jane and Willem Dafoe returning to play the Green Goblin, and I heard that they were actually going to cast Miles Morales, or there were rumors that they're casting Miles Morales, which I thought, okay, that's a logical thing to do because who doesn't want to see a live action Miles Morales? I want to see a live action Miles Morales. Oh, I think the thing that really like set these fans of these rumors off was when Doctor Strange was confirmed to be in the movie.
Yeah.
Which, again, I just took it as like, okay, great, Doctor Strange is in this movie. Because that's actually what I wanted from Spider-Man Far From Home. I wanted it to be a Spider-Man Doctor Strange team up. And that's another story for another day. But I want to see a Doctor Strange Spider-Man team up, because in the comics, like, they are really close. Like, they're Doctor Strange is the mentor to Peter that Tony Stark is in his first couple movies. And I was kind of bummed that, like, Tony Stark was the one mentoring him and not Doctor Strange. So I'm happy that that's happening. But then people saw that and were like, oh, well, obviously this is how we bring in the Spider-Verse. Doctor Strange is going to make some portals and he's going to recruit other Spider-Men from multiple dimensions to fight the other villains. And I thought, that sounds really irresponsible. Voluntarily bringing in alternate versions of other people. I mean, we saw what happened in Spider-Verse. I mean, they almost died. They glitched. Yeah. But then things just kept going and going and going and going and going. And then the latest rumor. What's that?
They just keep going down the rabbit
hole. Yeah, they keep going down the rabbit hole, exactly. Yeah. And then the last rumor I heard was a week ago when they announced that Alfred Molina was going to return to play his version of Doc Ock. To which I'm like, okay, stop. Stop it, stop it, stop it. There is, and this is my opinion, there is no live action Into the Spider-Verse movie being made through Spider-Man 3. Part of me also is saying this because I don't want that to happen. Yes. Don't get me wrong. I would love to see this movie, this fictional movie that people keep saying is a real thing. I would love to see Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland teaming up against other multiverse villains or one villain, I don't care. But those three, like, you tell me there's a Spider-Man movie in development, like a live-action Spider-Verse film with those three, I'm in. But it's too soon. It's way too soon. Like, Spider-Man hasn't even really been, like, he's kind of been still, like, riding on the coattails of Tony Stark and like, you know, being Iron Man Jr., basically. And it's like, we need him to, like, grow up and distance from that, graduate from high school, like, I don't know. Like, I'd love to see, like, if Sony takes the rights back after his last Avengers movie and they keep him in Sony, and then they announce, Spider-Man 4 is going to be the Spider-Verse movie. I'd be fine with that. But, like, come on. Why do we need to – I think this is also them wanting to cash in on Spider-Verse, which just seems really cheap. Like
– yeah, I think –
There's going to be a Spider-Verse 2 coming out in 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
If you serve me right.
Yeah, 2022. So, yeah, there'll be anime Spider-Man movie 2 coming out in 2022. Yeah.
Right. Right. So it's like, why are you pigeonholing yourself into oversaturating the market with Spider-Man? I mean, like, people like these movies are going to see the movies if they're good regardless. But I mean, you know, 2018 proved that you can see Spider-Man die in Infinity War and also see him almost die in Spider-Verse. Like, it can work, but I just think this is way too much, way too fast. If this is true. And I honestly don't believe it's true. You can agree with me. You can disagree with me. You can have a completely different opinion. What are your thoughts?
So I do agree that a Tom Holland, Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield collaboration would be awesome. But yeah, I do think the MCU needs one more Spider-Man movie and then something like that. But this is the first time I've heard rumors about, like, Emma Stone, Kirsten Dunst, and Alfred Molina and those guys coming back. But if they do come back, I think it'd be really cool if, like, we get Holland, Maguire, and Garfield all together and they face off with the Sinister Six.
Definitely.
I think, like, because that's got, Electro, Doc Ock,
Green Goblin.
Green Goblin. That one water guy. What's his name? Hydro Man, I think is what it's called.
Hydro Man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I think it'd be really cool if, like, at some point they did make that kind of, like, Spider-Verse movie where, like, the three Spider-Men take on the Sinister Six. Mm-hmm. And maybe it'd be cool if, like, Willem Dafoe and Alfred Molina came back to reprise those roles and, like, have them team up with, like, Jimmy Fox's Electro and, like, have, like, you know, Hydro Man and the other two members, you know, be cast as who they are. But I do agree that I think what MCU Spider-Man needs is they need one Spider-Man movie where the stakes are lower, not so it's like where Spider-Man is just saving New York City and not the whole world. So I think like they need that, and then on top of that, and then after they do that, pull that off, then they do this Spider-Verse movie.
Yeah. That they're wanting. Yes, we're both pretty much on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I'm not sure if I'll end up seeing it or not, but we'll have to see if like
you're not gonna see Spider-Man 3.
Well, here's the thing, I'm kind of abandoning ship with the MCU a little bit. I'm not planning on seeing Black Widow, and like I don't know about the Eternals and Shang-Chi and all that stuff. I might see Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and like maybe Doctor Strange and Black Panther 2.
Hmm.
But I don't know how long like, you know, the series is gonna last that before, you know, it starts getting rotten. But to me, like, I mean, I might end up seeing MCU Spider-Man 3, but who knows? So.
Is it just because you're tired of Marvel, or you're not sure it's gonna work, or?
Yeah, I'm getting tired of Marvel movies. Yeah, a little bit.
So. I guess I was on the verge of that too.
It's not that's a bad thing. Like I still like those movies. I still like there's a few of those movies I do like, but I just think like I mean, if I'm going to jump ship at some point, I mean, I'd rather do it when, like, you know, I think it's a good time to do so rather than at a point where, you know, I get too far into the rabbit hole and then it starts, you know, turning to something else. So.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's,
I don't know if that makes any sense, but.
Yeah. I mean, that's your opinion, man. If you want to take a break from the MCU for a while, that's totally, totally up to you. But I mean, I guess for me, like, I was kind of on the same boat you are for a while, but then like nothing came out this year, so I'm like, oh well, already got a break. I'm already ready for WandaVision coming out in 2021.
So
you said something interesting. You said that Spider-Man 3 needs to be lower stakes. And I thought that was the problem with Spider-Man Far From Home, because I think we both established, like, I like Homecoming. You're not as big of a fan.
I think Homecoming's okay.
Yeah, okay. Basically, I liked Homecoming. You thought it was okay. I thought Far From Home was okay. You really liked Far From Home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Far From Home is a fine movie. It's for what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's bad or poorly made per se, but basically what you said really kind of hit me, because that's how I think Spider-Man's been. It's like Spider-Man has become, you know, he's saving London and shooting down like drones and stuff. It's like I don't want to see in a CGI fish. Like I don't want to see this. Mm-hmm. I want to see Spider-Man in his like original suit.
Yeah, being friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah, like I want to see him in his homemade suit, tracking down the jet and stopping Vulture from stealing weapons. He's gonna sell to people on the black market. Like, that's why I love Far From Home, is because it kept things very simple. And Spider-Man's villains work the best when everything is, you know, small potatoes, like you said, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And not that things can't get huge like Spider-Verse. But even Spider-Verse itself felt small. Like, they weren't saving the world. I guess they were saving the multiverse, but like no one knew that like the multiverse was in peril or something. Like it wasn't like we have to get the Spider-Man to save the world. It was like they knew, only they knew like of each other, and it was about them helping each other get back to their home. So yeah, I think this just comes from me. Like again, I love Tom Holland's Spider-Man. I'm not a huge fan of all the movies he's been in because only Far From Home, just because I don't want Spider-Man to be this big globe-trotting superhero that goes, you know, flying on, Spider-Man flying on a jet saving the world. It's just like, I don't need that. I need him to be friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And also, just tone down the comedy. Gosh! At least for Far From Home. I don't know. I have tonal issues with Far From Home too, but I'm not here to get into Far From Home. So let's wrap this up. Basically, Spider-Man 3 is not going to be a Spider-Verse film. I could be wrong. We're supposed to get a tease of what Spider-Man 3 is going to be like this December, according to Tom Holland and Jimmy Kimmel. So, like, we could be totally wrong. We could be like, well, joke's on us. I guess they are going to do a big-ass Spider-Verse TV show, Spider-Verse movie. And, you know, I'll still be excited. I'll still go see it because that's awesome. But, in terms of just narratively, in terms of just what the franchise needs, like, we do not need, especially after Endgame, like, we don't need an exhausting world-ending movie.
Yeah. Or at least, like, not 2, 3, 4 movies right after Endgame.
Right, yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of MCU films that I am looking forward to and some that I'm not. I don't want to add Spider-Man 3 to that list of not, because, like, I'm on the fence with Black Widow. I'm just kind of tired of hearing about it. Yeah. Just want it to come out so I can know if it's good or not. Eternals kind of sounds terrible from what I'm hearing. What do you think, Ted? Do you think there's any shred of evidence that this could actually be happening, or do you think this is just an overblown rumor because someone thought, hey, Jamie Foxx is coming back, he's got to be playing the Amazing Spider-Man 2 guy? What do you think?
Well, we haven't got a confirmation yet on whether or not Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are going to be in it. We haven't heard anything yet. It's just been a rumor. Mm-hmm. So until there's something confirmed, I'm guessing, like, it's just a rumor. That's just it. Like, I mean, until I hear, like, actual news that it's happening, I will, you know, it's just going to be a rumor and something that was just probably overblown. Like, kind of like a whistleblower. I don't know if that's the right term. I don't know if that's, like, the right word or anything, but just...
I think that's more like if this was true and someone spilled the beans. Mm-hmm. But I get what you're saying. You mean, like, somebody who basically, you know, put out a fake rumor that's not, has no validity to it.
Yeah.
I honestly think that they're just trying to do right by Jamie Foxx and let him have another chance at Electro.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to be some Spider-Verse thing. Also, like, I don't know what the relationship between Sony and Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield is, since, because they didn't really, you know, split on good terms per se.
Yeah. Like, well, I know, especially Andrew Garfield, because, like, I know there is a version, I heard that there is a version of Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 where Shailene Woodley plays Mary Jane Watson. There's like a version of the movies where she's Mary Jane Watson.
She was in Spider-Man. She was supposed to be in Amazing Spider-Man 2, yeah.
Yeah, and like I really would have loved to see that. But so I know like Andrew Garfield definitely did not end on good terms with Sony. I mean, that might change now. But Tobey Maguire, I mean, I think
they canceled Spider-Man 4 like 4 days before they were going to start shooting. And like no, or I think it was 4 days, like maybe like a week or something. I don't know, but like some very short notice they canceled the film. Yeah. I don't remember why, but I'm sure he wasn't really happy about that. And his career hasn't really been, you know, buzzing ever since. I mean, the last thing he was in that I can remember was that chess movie.
Yeah, he was in The Great Gatsby with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Great Gatsby, yeah, that was the biggest. Yeah. That was the last big like notable thing he was in. Like, he's great. Like I'm not bashing him as an actor; he's fantastic. But yeah. You gotta expect if these guys are you're asking these guys to come back and play Spider-Man again, they're gonna be asking for some moolah.
Yeah,
like a lot of moolah. Mm-hmm. So I don't imagine that if they are coming back, they probably have spent a bunch of money to get them to come back, and I still don't believe that they are because I don't think this is real.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Who knows? We could be totally wrong, and if we are wrong, I will take this clip and I will play the Curb Your Enthusiasm music over our faces right now. Whatever face we're making right now, it'll just be the da 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 da
Yeah,
I hope that doesn't happen. I don't think it will, but if it does, I will do that. I'll think that's funny.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll find it funny too.
If you can't laugh at yourself, then I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yep.
Anyways, I think basically we're all both in agreement. These are rumors, nothing more. There is very little evidence to say whether these are true. I mean, there is. Yep. I mean, I can see why someone would assume that this is true because of the Jamie Foxx thing, but that's it. And Doctor Strange, I guess. But either way, like, I'm looking forward to Spider-Man 3. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be awesome. Yeah. If it's Spider-Verse, I'm going to roll my eyes and throw open my mouth, and then I'm going to be happy for it. If it's not, well, I told you so. told you so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's all we got for you guys. That is our show. That was a good show. It feels nice to be back in the chair talking about movies with Tyler Banark and just in general being back on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And as I approach 25 years of age in a couple days, I'm also approaching episode 50. Holy smokes. I got to figure out what I'm going to do for that, if I'm going to do something special. But
I'm also pushing a big one, too. I'm going to be 21 next Wednesday. So not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday.
Well, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
You're going to be able to drink now.
Yeah.
I will say, don't hit it too hard. Because you may never drink again. All right. Well... that's all we got for you guys today. Thank you all for watching this episode of the Vince Salerno Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, hit the like or the heart, whatever they got here. Or just give us honestly, if you guys leave a review for this podcast, if you really liked it, that helps a lot with just getting around, circling it to other people. So please leave a review if you can on Apple Podcasts or Anchor, wherever you get your podcasts. Special thanks to Anchor for, you know, being free and allowing me to do this without paying ridiculous amounts of money. And special thanks to my special guest, Tyler Banark. I think this is I don't remember, but this is like your bajillionth time on the podcast.
Yeah, it does feel
I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. So
I don't think it'll stop either. So
yeah, well, it's always a pleasure having you on.
Being on this, and I'm welcome back. I'll be happy to come back anytime.
Awesome. Well, where can the people find you online if they want to follow your social medias?
All right. So you can find me on Instagram at Ty Banark, spelled TYBANARK, reviews movies. You can also find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Ty Banark Movies. And then I'm going to plug it in one more time, but feel free to check out cinemasolace.com. You will not regret it. It's a great website.
We'll put those guys in the description of this podcast episode so you guys can check them out. I've seen the stuff they've done. It's some pretty fun stuff. So, and Tyler obviously is there and he's great at what he does. So check it out. You guys can follow me on all social medias, Facebook, Vince Salerno - Divinity 75. That's my Facebook page, Instagram at the Vince Salerno, Twitter at the Divinity 75, Letterboxd, Vince Salerno. I think I'm the only Vince Salerno on Letterboxd. So just go find me there. I am on TikTok. If you're into TikTok, so I believe my TikTok handle is at the Vince Salerno 75. I don't know why I don't just name these all the same thing. That'll be much easier, but I'm an idiot. So I'm also clinging to the Bigby 75. It's nostalgic. It was my first YouTube name. Yeah. Give me a break.
Hey, also, I'm not blaming you. I like it. It's a good.
All right, thank you, game. Thank you, appreciate it. Also, guys, my Mandalorian chapters 10, 11, 12, and 13 review is coming up very soon. If it's not out already, so check that out. If it's out, if not, it'll be coming soon. Really quick, Tyler, are you watching The Mandalorian?
I am not.
No worries. Need to wrap up. I just wanted to see if you were, because there's been some fun stuff going on in The Mandalorian, but it's okay. Again, thank you guys for watching. Have a great day. Merry Christmas, and hope your new year is better than this year. It's got to be. Yeah, that's it. Sorry, I flubbed up the ending. So, have a great day. God bless, and peace out.